I'm Marco Werman. This is The World.
Non, ce n'était pas le radeau de la Méduse, ce bateau, qu'on se le dise au fond des ports, dise au fond des ports. Il naviguait en perpénard sur la grand-mare des canards et s'appelait les copains d'abord, les copains d'abord.
This is French singer-songwriter Georges Brassens. He died almost 30 years ago. Brassens was a cultural icon in France, still is, actually, but he's not that well known here, so musician Pierre de Gayande decided to do something about that. He spent 2 years translating some of Brassens' songs into English and producing them for his new album, Bad Reputation. De Gayande was born in France and moved to California with his family when he was 7. His father tried to teach him the greatness of Brassens, but De Gayande says at the time he wasn't impressed.
My father, being a French professor, was rather didactic and wanted to be the ambassador of France in Southern California where we lived. And so anything French was kind of hammered into us when we were kids. The French way of eating and, of course, music. And so Brassens was this thing that we had to sort of really learn and study. And there were definitely moments when my dad sat me down with Brassens blasting at full volume and made sure I understood line by line exactly what was going on. At the time, I didn't really enjoy it so much.
But now you're channeling your kind of inner Brassens, judging not just from the music, which we'll hear in a moment, but by the cover of the album. I mean, there is some resemblance there. The mustache, the eyebrows. Are you working on this look?
Well, I happen to be blessed with a hairline like Brassens as well.
That's a good
blessed
thing.
Or cursed. I definitely grew the mustache on purpose. I kind of like that look that he was rocking in the 50s and 60s and 70s. I'm trying not to be a Brassens parody or Brassens cover band. There are a lot of people doing that in France. The idea is to be myself, but I think he's a pretty cool-looking guy, so...
So let's do a side-by-side comparison, a taste test, if you don't mind. We'll
sure.
Listen first to Chanson pour l'Auvergnat. This is one of Brassens' best-known tunes. We'll hear him, and then we'll hear you.
Elle est à toi, cette chanson. Toi, l'Auvergnat qui, sans façon, m'a donné quatre bouts de bois quand dans ma vie il faisait froid. Toi qui m'as donné du feu quand les croquantes et les croquants, tous les gens bien intentionnés m'avaient fermé la porte au nez.
Now let's hear your version, Pierre.
This is the song I sing for you, humble man of the country who some wood to warm my bones when all in my life had grown cold. You who gave me some fire when decent ladies and gentlemen, all of the well-intentioned folks, had slammed the door shut in my nose.
Pierre de Gayande, I have to ask you, did you adjust your voice to kind of almost mimic Georges Brassens, or is that you?
Honestly, this is another lucky accident, which is that I have a very deep singing voice. I can do Brassens really easily. It's very comfortable for me.
And lyrically, I mean, what's amazing is that your interpretations of Brassens, you've translated fairly literally the songs, and yet they continue to rhyme, and with the same number of syllables per line. That must have been a huge challenge.
It's definitely difficult. The funny thing about Brassens is he stretches the words out over many syllables. One sound might go over 5 or 6 syllables. There are also challenges of Brassens sort of invented words that I had to deal with in this song. Les croquantes et les croquants basically means kind of working class people, the salt of the earth, the real down-home French people. For me, they became decent ladies and gentlemen. Croquante literally is kind of biting, someone who bites something.
Right.
Brassens used this construction with croque a lot in his songs. He used croque mort for an undertaker, someone who bites the dead. He used croque-nut in another song, which I translated as troubadour, someone who bites notes.
He's the original croque-monsieur.
That's right.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
That's fantastic. I never thought of that. So as far as the syllables and the rhymes, definitely, it's a game for me. And it's challenging. It's really fun.
With your straight-ahead delivery and also Brassens' straight-ahead delivery, there's a kind of slightly sarcastic tone, a quality that comes across as well. I mean, were you happy with that?
I love that. There's a sort of a twinkle in his eye. He sings about death and about people being horrible to each other and about cops being killed by old ladies. And I mean, you name it, all kinds of stuff. But he's always got this little smirk. And that's the tone that I just love the most in music, because it's completely serious, but it's able to laugh at the most grim things.
He didn't suffer fools, did he?
No, not at all. He didn't change himself a bit. In fact, he didn't change his music one lick from his first record to his very last. And he lived through the entire rock and roll era and ignored it as if it never happened, which was pretty interesting.
Brassens also wrote songs with language that we couldn't put on the air. There's a song, Fernand, and you translated another tune, The Pornographer. This one probably won't get much airtime here either. Are you prepared for the parental advisory sticker on this album?
I'd be happy to have the parental advisory sticker. I'd feel like I was in the club with NWA, one of my favorite groups. And Tipper Gore can eat her heart out, poor Tipper. As far as Fernand, first, a real quick note about that. Sarkozy's wife, Carla Bruni, covers that very well. So times are changing in France, as we know. And The Pornographer, that was definitely my intention, was to get as raw and obscene as possible, because to approximate the effect that that song had when it came out in 1958, I had to sort of up the ante with the words. And so, yeah, I chose to use some bleep words.
When I was just a little lad, my fear of swearing was so bad that even if I thought the word shit, I never uttered it. But now that I earn my daily wage, ranting and raving from the stage, shit never stays inside my head. Instead, it's said, 'cause I'm the pornographer of the phonograph, sir, perverted son of the sing-along.
Let's hear another song. You worked on a tune, Mourir pour des idées, to die for your ideas, as a translation. You sang that with French singer Karen Ann. Here it is.
To die for your ideas, an excellent idea. One time I almost died for lack of having it.
When all the teeming hordes who headed before me ran screaming to my door in a murderous fit,
my muse eventually caved in to their request. Lamenting her mistakes, she rallied to their cause with just a whisper of regret, giving her pause. Let's die for our ideas, but make it a slow death. Okay, make it a slow, slow death.
Pierre, tell us what the song is about.
This song, to me, is just so relevant and so timeless. It's basically a critique of fundamentalism in any form, and it's saying that the people who influence others to die for their ideas are generally not interested in dying themselves at all. It's a really witty, amazing little sly turn of phrase that says, let's die for ideas, that sounds great, but let's take a really, really long time.
And at the time, did Brassens' songs like this one make their way into France's national political dialogue?
They did, although Brassens was absolutely adamant about not espousing any political party. He had just no interest in doing that. I liken him to Bob Dylan in that sense, where Bob Dylan was elected as the spokesman for a generation of political activism, and he had no interest in it.
What's the reaction to your project been in France? What have people said about this so far?
It's been really heartwarming, because the French reaction is so French. If you could see me now on the radio, I would be doing the French face, which is the lips are sticking out and the shoulders are shrugged, and it's like, you can't do that, you know, impossible. But then people come to the show, they love the songs, they love the melodies, they know all the lyrics, and especially if they're people who are sort of sitting on both cultures like I am, they absolutely love it. They think, wow, it's working. I'm not bastardizing the melodies, and I'm just doing it with a spirit of absolute reverence, and I think that comes across.
Was there also a feeling on your part that this is such a great musician and songwriter that Americans need to know about him?
That's absolutely my feeling. I mean, his estate is not paying me to do this, but I just feel like he's saying something that really needs to be heard these days. First of all, he was completely obsessed with language and grammar and history and revering poetry. I think those are values that are important.
It kind of feels like you've come full circle. I mean, as a kid, you didn't really want to be told by your dad why Georges Brassens was great. Now it kind of feels like you're telling us how great he is.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really want to start eating dinner at 10 o'clock and, you know...
Waiting for your dad's lecture to be finished.
Exactly. I wanted to be an American, you know, when I was a kid. And I wanted to fit in. I wanted to play punk rock music and loud music and just be myself. And it took a while to figure out all this great stuff that came from that side of my culture. So I'm old enough to appreciate it now.
Pierre de Gaillon, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
In my corner of the nation, I have a bad reputation. Whether I speak or I shut up, they treat me like a you-know-what. Yet I do no damage to anyone, following the road of the simple tongue. But good folks don't appreciate someone whose path may deviate. No, good folks don't appreciate someone whose path may deviate. Everyone likes to curse at me, except the mutes, obviously.